Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. We want to look at a verse here in this chapter and then go to one or two other verses elsewhere in the New Testament. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And our word here is the word reconciled. Let's turn, please, to Philippians. Or Ephesians, rather. I knew it wasn't right when I said it. To Ephesians chapter 2. And let's break in at verse 16. And that He might reconcile both, that is, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's break in at verse 20. We are reading about the Lord Jesus Christ. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And one other verse for now. Let's turn over, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once, that is, once for all, suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Now that's reconciliation. That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Let us look to the Lord once again in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank Thee for this opportunity to be together to consider the Word of God. We pray that our hearts and minds will be open and receptive to the Word, and not only so, but responsive as well. We pray particularly for those in our midst who have not by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray, Father, that we'll have the joy and privilege of being that final link in the chain, in having that privilege to point some to Christ today. Speak to our hearts as we wait before Thee, praying in our Savior's peerless name. Amen. If one of two persons who are friends were to harm the other person or to do anything whereby the other person stands at a loss, it is possible for that wrong to be dealt with legally in every aspect without those two people ever coming back into a friendship or having fellowship one with the other. In thinking of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, In thinking of his death upon the cross to deal with the sin question, he dealt with the sin question to the eternal satisfaction of Almighty God, the Holy One, the Just One, so that the Lord Jesus Christ could say, as he did, "It is finished." And we speak about the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in using that terminology, we are indicating that our Lord Jesus Christ, in and through his death, dealt with sin in every legal aspect, so that in the sight of God, the sin question has been settled. Now, concerning our salvation, it is the Son question. That is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you, by faith, received him as your personal Savior? Now it's the Son question. So it is possible for a legal aspect to be dealt with in every way without those who are separated from each other ever coming back into a friendship or a fellowship. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, in and through his finished work at Calvary, not only deals with sin once for all, but those who receive him as Savior, he brings to God. He places near in the very presence of God. This is the thought in these portions that we have read. So much so, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, so much so that when God sees this one who has been brought into his very presence in and through Christ, he sees such a one as being holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, in his x-ray vision, in his deep penetrating vision. God looks on the heart. Man looketh on the exterior, the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. He has x-ray vision. And so the one who is reconciled to God in and through Christ, God sees such one as being holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. So that in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have the assurance from the Word of God that the sin question has been settled eternally, and all that Christ accomplished at Calvary has been reckoned over to our account. And God looks upon us as if we had never committed a sin. That's amazing, but that's true. In another study some years ago, we briefly thought of several words that we find in the New Testament that speak about the finished work of Christ upon the cross. One such word is propitiation. Propitiation. For example, John says that Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation. That word indicates the Godward aspect of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. When our Lord Jesus Christ died upon that tree, he accomplished something that we will be learning about, that is, we who are saved, will be learning about for all eternity. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the satisfaction. He accomplished something Godward when he died upon that cross. And what he accomplished Godward is indicated by that word propitiation. There is the word redemption in the New Testament throughout. And that word redemption indicates the sinward aspect of the death of Christ upon the cross. When he died, he dealt with the sin question, and he accomplished redemption from sin and its consequences. So redemption is the sinward aspect of his death. There is the word justification. And that word indicates the, and I don't know how else to term it except to say the record aspect of his death. That is our record. So that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, our record is completely cleansed of all charges. So much so that Paul asks, who shall bring any charge to God's elect? It's God who justifies. And I repeat, God sees us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. We're justified. And that indicates the record aspect of the death of Christ. But this morning, we're thinking about reconciliation. And that is the manward aspect of the death of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he accomplished at Calvary, takes that one who calls upon him for salvation, who receives him as Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ brings that one nigh unto God. We read in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ, the just, died for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So we're thinking about reconciliation. And we think, first of all, of man's need for reconciliation. When we go back to the book of Genesis, we read there where God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And we firmly believe that included in that statement is the fact that man is a tripartite being, consisting of body, soul, and spirit. Now, there are those in Christendom, I'll use that broad term, there are those in Christendom who deny this line of teaching. The Word of God speaks about body, soul, and spirit. And though it is difficult for us to distinguish, particularly between the soul and the spirit, the Word of God does. For example, is it in 1 Thessalonians 5, about verse 23, Paul said, I pray that your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, the body, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So man is a tripartite being consisting of body, soul, and spirit. We firmly believe that is included in that statement when God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Man has a mind with which to think. He has a heart with which to love. And he has a will with which to choose, to judge, to determine. Now, when God made man in his image and after his likeness, the two were in fellowship. They were in communion with each other. It was mind to mind, heart to heart, and will to will. But because of sin, that was broken. Man fled from the presence of God, and then God drove man from his presence. And from that point onward, every one of humanity is separated from God apart from Christ, alienated from God. And we need reconciliation. We are not one with God, positionally or conditionally. We need to be reconciled to God. And I know I've told you several different times, surely, that back in Greensboro, we had a radio broadcast for many years. When we moved to Greensboro, Brother H.G. McKay had carried on that radio broadcast for some years, and I worked with him for a couple of years, and then he backed out of it altogether, and I had the responsibility and the privilege of maintaining that broadcast over a CBS affiliate station for a number of years. We did it live every Sunday morning. And when we would go to the station, and when I would go to the station, without any exception, every Sunday morning I would look at the clock on the wall there in the station, in the studio. I was in one room. The Sunday engineer, we'll put that in quotes, they had the more or the least experienced people on the weekend operating the controls. But the engineer was two rooms down, and we looked at each other through glass walls and were able to communicate by the mic and so on. But I would go into the room waiting for the hour when the broadcast would start. And so I would look at the clock, knowing that that clock was automatically adjusted according to the Naval Observatory time, now through the atomic clock in Denver, but that clock was automatically adjusted to the right time. So every Sunday morning I would look at my watch, and I would look at the clock. And invariably, my watch was not exactly with the clock. Which one do you think I adjusted? The clock on the wall or my watch? Well, you say your watch. Well, of course. Now, the Bible does not say or teach that God is reconciled to us. So one or two songs might indicate that by the wording. But that is not the case. God is not reconciled to us. We are reconciled to God. And surely we need to be because of sin. In the beginning it was mind to mind, heart to heart, will to will. But because of sin, man's mind was darkened so that he could not know God. Man's emotions were degraded, so he could not love God. Man's will was deadened, so he could not obey God. And we need to be reconciled to God. Apart from Christ, we are separated from God, not in harmony with God. We are not one with God. We do not conform to His will and to His ways. The Bible teaches that apart from Christ, we are spiritually dead, needing regeneration, ignorant of God, needing illumination, condemned by God, needing salvation, and guilty before God, needing justification. And alienated from God, separated from God, needing reconciliation. What a mess! But God alone can deal with it. He does have everything under control. And what is said of Israel, From Isaiah 59 and verse 2, your sins have separated between you and God. It's true of every one of the human race. We need to be reconciled to God. We need to have the sin question, as far as we are concerned, dealt with. We need our sins, our personal sins, dealt with. Paul said, we were alienated from God in our mind by wicked works. Not only in our thinking, but by our actions. And our sins need to be dealt with. They can be dealt with legally in every aspect, so that the sin debt is settled. But also we need to be reconciled to God. Now, what is the foundation for reconciliation? We read it right through. Much more, being reconciled by the death of His Son. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's how we are reconciled. And yet people still labor under the false notion that we must do enough good works to be accepted by God and to go to heaven when we leave this life. We are reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We read in Ephesians 2 and 16, and that He might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross. By the cross. And we read in Ephesians chapter 2, and that was Ephesians, we read in Colossians chapter 1, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. Through death. And Peter emphasized the same thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in and through His death, brings us to God. For Christ also hath won. Suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. So, my dear friend, if you have not called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, if you have not by faith received Christ as your Savior, you need to be reconciled to God. And the basis for this reconciliation is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you receive Him as your Savior, all that He accomplished at Calvary will be reckoned over, imputed, over to your account. Imputed. That's the word that some have difficulty in understanding the meaning of. Amputation, you know what that means, to take away. Imputation means to reckon to, or to put to. And when you receive Christ as Savior, the value of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ is reckoned over to your account when you call upon Him for salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, on the basis of who He is and what He accomplished at Calvary, will bring you near into the very presence of God, reconciled to God, and you will be accepted in the beloved, in Christ Himself. And we think, too, of the extent of reconciliation. It was F.W. Robertson who said that Christ, by virtue of His finished work at Calvary, reconciles man to God.
and man to man, and man to himself, and lastly, man to his duty, to his responsibility. In and through Christ, we are reconciled to God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, having received Christ and being at peace with God, being brought into the family of God in and through this spiritual transformation, we can enjoy the peace of God. And we walk in fellowship with God. God is faithful, who has called us into koinonia, into fellowship with himself, with his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. How wonderful to be in fellowship with God, to be in communion with God. But this reconciliation includes man to man. And this is the thought that is stressed in Ephesians chapter 2. Jew and Gentile, these two brought together. Brought together. That is the grace of God. You know, we can be at odds with other people for whatever reason. Whether it's ethnic, whether it's religious, whatever it is, we can be at odds with others. But once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible tells us, and we know from experience, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we should not have any hatred, any animosity to anyone else. Oh, we hate sin. We should. And we might not like the ways and actions of some people, but the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Frankly, I used to wonder, how can I love certain people? The Word of God commands me to love certain people. And I used to wonder, how can I do this? I mean, either you love someone or you don't. And some people are not lovable. And I used to wonder, Lord, how can I do this? You command me to love people. And there are some people I have great difficulty in loving. But God gives that command, and in giving it, makes clear to us that his love is shed abroad in our hearts. And being reconciled to God, we should be reconciled to one another. Now, if others don't want to accept that, we have to let it be their problem, not ours. I was counseling a young man a few days ago, and I was stressing this to him, as I've done many times in counseling with other people. You cannot let the attitudes and actions affect how you're going to live. We often do. But I said, as Christians, we are to be loving and forgiving. Now, whether or not others want to accept that is up to them. And if not, then we really can't let it be a problem to us. But this reconciling work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only bringing man to God so that we are at peace with God, but bringing man to man so that we're at peace with one another. Because hatred has been displaced by the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. But this reconciliation also includes man being reconciled to himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul speaks about the natural man, that is, the unsaved person. And I am reading now from 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the, and this is the Holy Spirit. When you see Spirit spelled with capital S, it's the Holy Spirit of God. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let me pause to say, because the Holy Spirit is God. Don't ever doubt that. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us to us of God. So that a person in Christ is reconciled to himself. We are sometimes frustrated. We are out of joint, if you please, because of things in our past, the things that we have been guilty of, things that disturb us. But as Christians, we are made to realize that we are in the care and keeping of Almighty God, that we are the temple of God, and that we stand before God as the Lord Jesus himself. And this frustration is taken away. Any guilt complex is taken away in through Christ. And we are brought to ourselves with the realization that now we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Citizens of heaven. And man is reconciled to duty. We are born into certain surroundings, and we live in certain situations. Before we were saved, we lived according to this world. And after we are saved, we sometimes think, oh, if my circumstances now were to change, if I were only able to leave these adverse surroundings, these difficult situations, and be transported someplace else, that's not the case. But as Christians, we realize that we now belong to the Lord. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And before we were saved, as we see in Ephesians chapter 2, I lived for myself. I lived for the pleasures of this world. I lived according to the course of this world. But now, having been born again, being a member of the family of God, my home is in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I'm here in this world as an ambassador for Christ. And I look at things altogether differently. Before I was saved, I would go to my job every day, which I enjoyed very much. Always liked the engraving trade. I engraved printing plates. Always liked my trade. But after receiving Christ and becoming a Christian, now I am an engraver for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me back up. Let me correct myself. Stuart Briscoe said on one occasion that he was conducting a Bible study in a home. It was an informal setting. And he was new to a lot of the people there. And so, sitting on the floor near him was this young woman. And so he was asking different ones,
Now, what do you do in life? What is your occupation? And so on. And so Stuart Briscoe asked this young lady, he said, what is your occupation? And she said, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, camouflaged by being a secretary in an office. And I thought that was very good.
But that's the way we Christians are to look at what we do. I'm doing what I do in the secular world, wherever I am, in the home, in the office, in the school, wherever it might be. I'm looking at this through the eyes of Christ being a Christian. Because having prayed, having yielded myself to God, I believe God has brought me to this place, and I understand from the Word of God that I am to do everything that I do, whatever you do, do all to the glory of Christ, the glory of God the Father, and I look at what I do in that way. So this reconciliation that Christ accomplished at Calvary includes man being reconciled to God, man being reconciled to man, man being reconciled to himself, and man being reconciled to his daily responsibilities. But now, listen, I want you to look at something with me. So I want you to turn to two portions of Scripture. One is Philippians chapter 2, and the other is Colossians chapter 1. So you would only have one or two pages in between the two. But I want you to hold them up so that you can look at two verses rather quickly here. And let's take Colossians chapter 1 first. And look at verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Note that, please. Whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He's going to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Look back at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9. No, let's read verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, note this, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow of things in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. In reading about reconciling all things to himself, we read whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And in comparing these two verses, what do we learn from this? Well, among other things, it conveys this thought to me, that once a person leaves this life and goes down to, as John Bunyan said, the Tophet, down to hell, down to a lost eternity, there will come that day when everyone who is there will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But so far as reconciliation is concerned, once you leave this life,
and go down to that place, there will be no possibility of reconciliation. I believe that is included in the comparison of those two. He's going to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You don't read under the earth. But when it comes to every knee bowing, whether they're in heaven, in earth, or under the earth, every knee is going to bow and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And what is my thought in this? My friend, the time for you to be reconciled to God is now. Is now. What has been the problem thus far for you not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You think about that. You need to be reconciled to God, and it is our prayer that you will call upon Christ even before this day is over. Let's turn in our hymnals to number 361. 361, and let's sing the first stanza only. Only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come, and thy sin confessing to him the Savior bow. Bow to the Lord Jesus Christ now and be saved. If you go out of this life unsaved, you will bow to him in the coming day, but not with any possibility of being saved. Do it now. The first stanza only of 361. Let's stand as we sing, please.